back on the record.
You're on.
Mr. Thompson, you can ask Mr. Squire some cross-examination questions.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Squire.
Good morning.
Just a few questions for you. Who hired you in this case?
I was initially contacted by Ed Smith, but made to know later on that my paychecks were actually from the Idaho Rural Council, I believe is the name.
And have you invoiced this entity for any of your work?
Yes,
so far. And they paid you for that?
Yes.
And to your knowledge, have any of the protesters paid for your services in this case?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Getting back to one of those last questions, you talked about that there could be some interflow zones of various different geologic material that may cause partially confined systems. To your knowledge, are those interflow zones of those various layers continuous across the aquifer to cause that?
Well, they could be. I think that it goes to the variability of the aquifer. I mean, by the very nature of the salt flows, I mean, depending on the volume of the lava that's coming out, you may have one flow that flows a certain extent and it runs out of oomph and it stops there, and so you have a flow edge there that you might have to.
So I take it you have not evaluated in this case.
No, I have not.
Whether or not those are continuous.
No.
And I guess getting back to comments on basalt aquifers and analyzing basalts, I guess is your understanding that IDWR does use models in basalt aquifers when making decisions about water rights?
Yes.
And getting back to, I guess, evaluating the reports in this matter, you talked about Mr. Crossway, who is a mentor of yours, reviewing some of those. And in your line of work, do you rely upon reports of others? Is that true?
Absolutely, yes.
And in your professional opinion and your experience, would you rely upon reports of others if you were not familiar with their qualifications and experience on subject?
I think you would take those into consideration and make your own decision on their applicability.
I guess in your experience, have you looked at somebody's report, not know anything about their background, and say, yes, I'm going to rely upon
them? Sure.
You've done that before?
Yes.
And is that good practice in your field?
I think a good researcher, investigator, would take in all the information that they can get.
So just to back up, you would or you would not rely upon a report such as that if you were not familiar with the author?
It would depend.
And
I wouldn't make that decision, for example, based on whether I knew him or not.
Okay,
I would make that decision. I don't need it. Go ahead.
With knowing that person's qualifications and background, I guess their experience for part of that report, would that inform you as to whether or not it's reliable?
Yes, to a certain degree, yes.
So if you didn't know anything about the author, their experience, or their work, their past training qualifications, would you rely upon them?
If I thought the work was good, yes.
Okay. Isn't it true that in this case you presented no opinions on the hydraulic connection between the groundwater at the original point of diversion and the groundwater at the place of use for the transfer?
That's true.
And would you agree you provided no well-to-well interference analysis for any of the transfers in your reports?
Would you say that again?
Would you agree that you've provided no well-to-well interference analysis for any of the transfers in your expert reports?
That is true.
And I guess getting back to a finite approach witness, this is just a copy of your report.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Squires, can you just identify the document I handed you?
It's a February 13th, 2015 report authored by me to Mr. Ed Smith, Twin Falls, Idaho. My expert report in this case.
And you still stand by that report as far as the opinions offered in that?
Yes.
And before our break, Mr. Coleman was asking you questions about the pump test and whether or not that would indicate potential injury to other wells. And could you just please read the highlighted portion of that report?
What page are we on, Mr. Squires?
It would be page number 2, sub The third paragraph, point three.
Go ahead.
The pump testing conducted by Brockway Engineering is not useful to any sort of aquifer analysis, well sustainability analysis, well interference analysis, or even pumping plant design analysis, and should not be represented as such or taken as such. In my professional opinion, with the data presented, the pumping test is nearly useless as explained below.
Okay, and Mr. Squires, you would agree that you did not conduct any analysis to determine whether or not any of the protestants in this case would be unable to pump their domestic wells as a result of the approval of any transfers in this case.
That's true.
Would you agree you've not studied the groundwater recharge estimates in the Salmon Track aquifer?
That's true.
And based upon the reports of others, you'd have no basis to disagree with what Fowler or Crosswaith have provided?
That's true.
And I believe we talked about this at your deposition. You would value and rely upon Mr. Crosswaith's report with this area.
I think highly of him as a researcher, yes.
And we talked about this in your deposition. You're familiar with the locations of dairy number 2 and dairy number 3. Is that correct?
Yes.
And I guess since those water rights have been pumping at those dairies since 1999, you would agree that the effects from the pumping under the existing water rights have been fully realized on the protestants' domestic wells in this case?
I actually have not seen any information on the volume pumped from those wells, so I can't say I know that.
Okay, based upon your experience, less than 2 CFS, would you expect those impacts to be fully realized within 5 years?
More than likely, yes.
And would you agree, in your opinion, there would be little impact on the protestants' wells that are located miles away from those very wells?
From 2 CFS?
From the existing pumping.
Could I ask you to state that question again?
Sure. Would you agree, in your opinion, there would be little impact on the protestants' wells that are located miles away from the dairy wells?
Well, I'm not, little is a relative term, but no, I really can't say that.
I guess anything over a mile, that's my question, too.
I would say that pumping effects diminish with distance away from the pumping well, as a general rule.
Okay, I just try to get back to your deposition where you testified you expect there would be little impact on protestants' domestic wells that are located more than a mile away. Is that still your testimony?
Well, if I said that, I guess I would want to qualify that with this spatial variability that I keep talking about. I think there are certain, as I keep saying, it's a humbling profession, and I can understand a situation where that would occur. But as a general rule, I would agree.
And we talked about a pumping test, I guess a small-scale pumping test, to determine aquifer characteristics, get a better sense on what will actually happen. As far as observation wells, would you agree that 3 monitoring wells would be sufficient for that test?
I think it's a whole lot better than none, if that answers your question. I think that there's a relatively limited number of wells right over there in close proximity and in that direction, so I would think 3 would be a good start.
And would you agree that the aquifer characteristics from a single well are not adequate or sufficient to define the parameters of an entire aquifer area, like the Salmon Track aquifer?
To characterize an entire aquifer, I would agree, but I would just say that a single well pumping test is capable of determining transmissivity of the aquifer, at least in the vicinity of the pumping well, whereas storativity can't be calculated from a single well test.
But you would take the characteristics from a single well to then make a judgment or an opinion upon aquifer parameters, characteristics for an entire aquifer the size of the Salmon Tract area?
No.
Mr. Smith asked you some questions about some water quality issues. Isn't it true that you provided no analysis, any reports on impacts to water quality on other wells caused by the approval of these transfers?
Other than a document that was not allowed into the record, that's true.
And isn't it true you were not asked to provide an opinion on that issue in this case?
I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that my clients are not well versed in the technicalities of aquifers, and I think what they wanted me to do was to analyze any and all impacts that might result from the transfer applications.
As far as specific analysis or evidence, you're not offering any opinions on that as to whether or not the approval of these transfers would result in some water quality impairment at any particular well.
I think I said earlier that it could happen. I made no opinion that it would happen.
Okay. Getting back to Exhibit 10, if you still have that binder in front of you, the USGS wells graph.
Got it.
I guess, does this exhibit indicate to you that groundwater discharge is exceeding annual recharge in this area over that period?
I think that we talked about the stability in the aquifer that these graphs show. And I think that the changes are so small, and given the data set, I think one would assume that stability means what you just said, that those two things are pretty equal.
And Mr. Smith talked to you about a groundwater management area. Would this data tell you, at least in that area, that the aquifer is approaching a critical condition?
Well, absolutely not, but I think a critical condition is a long ways past the groundwater management area. The groundwater management area, the definition of that is that an aquifer may be approaching a critical groundwater management area.
Getting back to the last transfer, you talked to Mr. Smith a little bit about that. That's 79466. Yes, isn't it true in the reports you've offered in this case that you've offered no analysis as to how this transfer would or would not impact any protestants' domestic wells in this case? Is that true?
That's true.
And isn't it true you've not conducted any analysis as to determine the hydraulic gradient change if adding that additional well would do that?
That's true.
I think that's all the questions I have.
Okay. Mr. Smith, did you have any follow-up questions?
Just a clarification, first of all. Reference the payment for Mr. Squires. Thompson implied that none of the protestants were paying Mr. Squires. They're not paying him directly, but we've had contributions from the protestants, some of them, not all, to help defray the cost of IRC. So it came across differently than what you said, and I just want to make sure that that's understood.
Do you have any other questions?
Just one other one. It came up a while ago that to test the 221 gallons per minute as a full amount, how would that be possible in the well situation that exists right now? Is that possible to do, Mr. Squire?
I don't believe so, to test at that at the 0.49 CFS using this well. That would be my guess.
Okay, that's fair enough.
But I guess I would add to that, not being asked, but you don't necessarily, it would be better if you could pump at that rate. I believe that you can pump at a lesser rate and determine the effects and determine these characteristics of the aquifer that we're talking about.
Okay.
So, I'm just going to say, I know you're not going to kiss me either, but I think that you can make those determinations at a lower rate and extrapolate. That would be a lot better than no information.
Okay. I got that information. follow up with my own question there. Might have a 30 seconds to talk with my...
Yeah, go ahead.
One more question.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, one more question, Mr. Smith.
Mr. Squires, it was stated through Mr. Thompson that the IDWR relies on the, a lot of the times, the modeling, and the modeling that is done in these particular times are using the Tice equation. Do you think that is an appropriate use of the modeling parameters in the type of terrain we're dealing with?
Well, I think my answer to Mr. Thompson was that I'm aware that the department relies on the Tice equation, and as we all do, because it's what's out there for the most part, and I think Mr. Sullivan testified to that. I would have to say that of the 10 assumptions that the Tice equation is based upon, you know, and I think it was actually Dr. Brockway, it was either Dr. Brockway or Mr. Sullivan that said that almost never are all the Tice assumptions met, and I believe that to be true. But I think in this case, in this type of aquifer, the assumptions are quite a reach to be met. And so you've heard this over and over from us technical folks, that it's what we have. It's what we have to use to analyze things with, and that's what the department has also to use in their decision making. But I strongly encourage a grain of salt to be thrown in there when using the Tice equation to model things in the salt aquifer.
Thank you.
Mr. Thompson, any other follow-up questions on that?
Just one. I guess Mr. Squires, you talked about the pump test, some sort of monitoring observation wells. Do you have a cost estimate on what type of program that would entail?
Including the pump test?
Yes.
Well, I think I might have said in my deposition, or maybe I didn't. I think to do the proper type of pump test that we're talking about that would go through this period of pre-test trends, the drawdown period and the recovery period, and equipping 3 monitoring wells with digital instruments, continuously recording digital instruments, as in the pumping well, and installing an appropriate pumping plant in the well to be pumped with monitoring tubes, and hand measurements be taken with electric water level sounders in the wells, and a report generated that presents all the data and the interpretation of that data. I would say you're probably in big numbers, like I used on my graph there. You know, you're probably looking somewhere around $40,000 or $50,000. If you want to go on to long-term monitoring, then if you bought those digital instruments, you would already have the instruments, but proper monitoring is expensive. And the way we usually handle that, not to blather on too long, but professional labor is so expensive nowadays that we usually rely on backup instruments. So rather than professional site visits to take measurements, because the chance of 2 instruments failing, right, the chance of 1 instrument failing, I think, is relatively high. The chance that 2 fail is pretty low. So we would, in the 3 wells for long-term monitoring, or the supply well, or both, an ideal situation would be to put 2 instruments in each well, and then I think perhaps at a minimum basis, the 2 yearly measurements would be adequate, the physical hand-measured data. Because that you have to have that to confirm that the instruments are reading properly and that they're calibrated. So, and I think also that, I'm going to get to answer your question. I think as monitoring like that goes on, and you actually see with great definition how the water levels are responding, then you can know when to go. You can know better when to go to take those measurements at the highs and the lows. So the cost of monitoring does diminish a bit with time. But I think a monitoring program like that, and it could vary quite a bit, you know, who does the monitoring and how it does. But, you know, it's probably going to cost somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000 a year.
Thank you. That's all.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Squire.
Do you have any questions?
I don't have any.
Oh, okay, great.
Thank you. I've actually, I think, changed my mind, Mr. Smith. Why don't we go off the record?